count it a real privilege to join together this morning and look to the Lord together and see what He might have for all of us. And so, welcome. I just add my welcome to each of you this morning. We gather here at Jericho Road. I want to go to Psalm 23. Let's jump out of sequence, so to speak. Go to Psalm 23 with me, if you would. David begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." Very well-known psalm, of course, for good reason. The comfort, the encouragement, the promises, the truth in this psalm. But let's not let the fact that it's well-known and well-used keep us from once again receiving and just soaking in the comfort and the encouragement in this psalm. It's what the Lord led me to share this morning as I'm thinking about all that Clarinda and Jeff are going through. And I believe we're just to soak in it this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. That phrase, of course, sets forth the Lord as just that, as a shepherd. So in doing that, what we see here is David, the one who wrote this, God led him to pen this, that he sees himself as a sheep under a particular shepherd's care. So this is from a sheep about his shepherd. Any sheep herders here this morning? Any sheep herders? No, I suspect not. If I had asked that question in a large crowd in David's time, many hands would have gone up. They might have understood very clearly right away the imagery where some of us may or may not. But we don't have to become shepherds to appreciate the truth in this psalm. It will benefit us, though, to consider some of the points about sheep and shepherds for us to derive from this what God would have for us. So whether it's just a reminder, if you know these things, you've heard it before, I'll just trust the Lord's trying to remind us. For others, might be new information, but I just trust that it'll be a blessing for all. Would you stand? I invite you to stand, please. Grab your Bible. We're going to read through the psalm together. We're going to read through it together out loud. If you don't have the New King James Version, that's okay. We'll understand that you're not exercising your gift of tongues right now. Instead, you're just using your version. But let's read through this together. I'll be reading it, but just read out loud with me. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Father, what comfort, what peace, what assurance, just all those things we hunger and thirst for, we find in our great shepherd. We thank You for that. And Lord, even though we go through these times and, well, I don't know, You know. Words can't express it, Lord, but how I thank You for all we find in You. We do lift Clarinda to You, praying for Your touch, praying for Your healing, praying for Jeff and the family. Keep them wrapped up, Lord. Just keep them wrapped up in Your love. Well, we know You do. Just let them really have a sense of Your presence right with them, we ask. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've called our time the Lord, our shepherd. The Lord, our shepherd. David begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." What compassion there is in this shepherd. What peace belonged to his sheep, the people of his pasture. See, the first declaration there, that just that simple statement, "The Lord is my shepherd," is actually far from simple. It's the Lord, the true and living God, the sovereign God, who's our shepherd. That's my shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd," he says. And really, that first declaration is just really the main theme of the whole psalm. The rest of the psalm is just kind of amplifying on and pointing to the glory and the sufficiency of our shepherd. When verse 1 is said, all has been said, really. If we understand what's wrapped up in it, that shepherd boy who became a king, he must have always thought back about those days, protecting sheep, leading them right where the food is, using a staff to whack away an attack, all those things that it's about. And he looks back and he goes, that's how God is, a living example. So if we can say this with David, if we can say this psalm not rotely, but from our hearts, then we're going to see this as what David was doing. It's a declaration of assurance, and really, it's a shout of joy in all we go through. So hear David say that, "The Lord is my shepherd." May we all be able to say that today. How are we like sheep? Sheep, of course, are prone to wander. They are vulnerable to attack. Basically, sheep are defenseless on their own. They are susceptible to diseases, and they are often afraid. In short, sheep need a shepherd. And so do we. Some people might wish that God had used some other phrase for us, another way to describe us, but he was telling it like it is. We are sheep, spiritually speaking. Isaiah put it well. Isaiah 53:6, where he says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." We are sheep spiritually. All gone astray. Matthew 9:36. "But when he saw the multitude," speaking of Jesus, "he looks out and he looks across all the people." It says he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. So that's the Lord's assessment. He looks out across people, out across time, and he goes, they're just like sheep, so vulnerable, so defenseless really on their own, and so prone to all these problems, they need the shepherd. Therefore, we hear Jesus in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." We are like sheep. Hopefully, there's no doubt. The other day, I saw a man. I didn't talk to him. He was in a crowd, but I saw a man that they had a T-shirt on. He didn't understand all this, I'm sure, from the wording on the shirt. But the wording on his T-shirt said, that basically says, "I wasn't born to be a sheep." Now, he's probably trying to say, I'm more assertive. I'm not going to be, I'm not going to follow the crowd. I'm going to be individual. That probably was saying, he said, "I wasn't born to be a sheep." The studying wasn't one that I felt led to do it, but I certainly would want to ask him, "Well, do you understand the alternative just means you're a goat?" And you don't want to hear what God's going to say to goats, because that's the two descriptions. Don't lament that in God's view we're sheep. He's just calling like it is. But thank God he didn't stop there. You're a sheep. Hope you make it. Instead, we have the shepherd, the great shepherd. We need the one. And only one really can fulfill this psalm. Only one does. And that's who we're going to consider. Let's dive in. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." See, if you take that verse and add it to verse 2, they help us consider the care, the provision that the shepherd has for his sheep. But the want here isn't referring just to a physical need. Indeed, our life experiences teach us that believers will still have seasons sometimes of material needs. Now, this is speaking of a deeper want, a deeper level. It's referring to what our hearts and lives really, really thirst for, really need. It's speaking of a contentment that only God can give. I am feeling mightily tossed about as my good friends go through what they're going through. But there's an anchor. There's an anchor in it all. For them, for us. And so we hold on tight to the chain, so to speak. For there is an anchor. And that's what it's speaking about. Just as a well-cared-for sheep will have its needs taken care of, so the believer has his needs met in Christ Jesus. Our real needs in all we face. We have peace. We have peace with God. We have the peace of God. I remember reading those verses with Jeff and Clorinda yesterday. The peace of God and peace with God. He gives us meaning to life. He gives us direction for our life. Think how he's changed all that life's about. And we know the day will come when we'll be home. All because of our good shepherd. You're being very gracious. God is good. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. There is a classic book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Some of you have probably written it. A guy named Philip Keller wrote it. A Shepherd Looks to Psalm 23. And in there he speaks about this psalm from the point of view of a shepherd and sheep and all that goes on there that we wouldn't know about. But Philip Keller points out for a sheep to be made to lie down, he said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He said, for a sheep to be able to be made to lie down, there are four requirements, he says, that must be met for that sheep. Number one, because they are timid, they won't lie down until they're free from fear. Second requirement, sheep must be free from friction with others of their kind, i.e. there must be unity in the flock, not discord, if they're going to be able to lie down. Number three, he says they must be free of flies and parasites before they can relax. And the fourth, he says, sheep will not lie down as long as they're hungry. They must be well fed, he says, before they will lay down and get comfortable. It's an interesting thing. All four of those things that they need, they have no way of providing on their own. The answer for each of those requirements lies not in the sheep themselves, but in their shepherd. Depends on what kind of shepherd they have taken care of them. They need these things, but they can't do it. Just like us, of course. It's got to come from outside. See, nothing quiets and reassures the sheep like seeing the shepherd in the field with them. His presence calms their fears like nothing else can. There's that fairly well-known drawing of the sheep standing there, and it's got the shepherd with a stick, and there's a wolf off there looking, but the shepherd's between the wolf and the sheep, and the sheep are going, yeah, you know, we're not doing that, but they're happy about the whole thing because they know he's there to whack away the enemies. He's our cure for fear. Secondly, the sheep stop jockeying for position, apparently, when the shepherd's around. They stop their rivalry when they get their eyes off of the other sheep and on to their shepherd. The same for us. When we let him heal us of discord, we get our eyes on him and it gives us a unity that helps us be able to appropriate his provisions and all. To treat against the effects of insects and parasites, shepherds have to apply a generous portion of oil and salve and all. They'll put the salve and oil on the sheep's face, on their eyes and all, to ward off flies and different things like that. the Holy Spirit. The Lord pours out His Holy Spirit upon us. The oil of the Holy Spirit upon us. The oil of His presence, His Spirit, His love. And through that, of course, guiding us and reassuring us. Does it sound corny to say that the Holy Spirit on us delivers us from things that bug us? And what's the cure for hunger? He says, a green pasture. A shepherd wants to lead his sheep to the great fields where the pastures are nice and green and all. That speaks, of course, of abundance. Leading the sheep to where he knows they'll find good food. We hold good food. We've been given the Word. Not just a book of nice sayings. Alive, active, sharper than a two-edged sword. And I can stand there over Clorinda's bed, I can stand there with Jeff, and I can stand there with you and say, it's sure. It's settled. What a difference. Good food helps us to lie down in peace. Thus every life, every believer, we're to live in awareness of the Holy Spirit and a growing knowledge of His Word. So in each one of those needs for a sheep to find the peace and the comfort and all, again, what's the answer? It's in the shepherd himself, in his provision, in his presence. God's gracious, I keep losing my place. God, you're good. David's proclaiming, the Lord is my shepherd. Here's why. The Lord's my shepherd. Here's why. All the benefits, all the blessings, all the reasons. So again, just as there's a physical thirst for sheep, so there is the thirst of soul. In a person. Every one of us, like that woman at the well discovered, every one of us has a thirst that only the Lord can provide. He leads us to those waters. He leads us along the way in all this. On the last day, that great day of the feast, John 7:37, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Come to me. The Lord is my shepherd. Religion is my shepherd? No. Church attendance is my shepherd? No. No, those are ways to know the Lord. And fellowship of other believers is my shepherd? No. Rules and regulations? No. The Lord is my shepherd. He satisfies my thirst. Nothing else can. Verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Again, sheep tend to drift. Sheep tend to fall over on their backs and can't get up. Perhaps you've heard of that. It's called, when a sheep sometimes, as you know, sheep typically are nice and round and plump, little short legs. They get upside down, big problem. It's called being cast down. Shepherds call that the sheep is cast down. Remember David said, why are you cast down, O my soul? And that's referring to that condition they can get into when they need help. When they're in that place, they need restoring. Someone to come along and put them upright and dust them off and get them going again. This very David came to a point of needing restoring big time. But he found it. The restoration of fellowship after a fall. Thank God our shepherd restores. If you're here today and need restoration, know that He restores our soul. He says He leads me. Again, left to our own, we'll wander off just like sheep. We'll go over that cliff. We'll walk off into the bushes where thorns are. We don't belong. But He leads me if I'll pay attention and follow. So again, here we see the importance of the Holy Spirit. Our need to listen and obey, follow the Lord. What's the teamwork? He follows. He leads, we follow. He leads, we follow. Our good shepherd. Don't get duped. A lot of others will compete for that place. They're not near worthy. They aren't shepherds, not the good shepherds. There are those who would rip off, those who would deceive, those who would use the sheep, make merchandise of the sheep. But there is only one, but there is one. He's the good shepherd. He lays his life down for the sheep. Verse 4. And here we go. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Perhaps man in general, perhaps man's greatest fear is his fear of death. Before you knew the Lord, perhaps you remember that feeling. Lord, is there anything after this? If so, what's going to happen to me? Is this just the end? Am I just an animal and I quit existing? All the struggles people have about death. But the sheep who belong to the good shepherd, we find that that fear is dispelled. Death is overcome. Lost its sting. The consequences of sin he took for us. Therefore, the real me will never have to die. He who liveth and believeth in Jesus will never die. The real us. Because Jesus took that death upon him. Thank God for that. So we don't have to fear death. Think how it's changed everything. I pray God touches Glenda. But I thank God the eternity settled. But the sting of death has been removed. Don't make light of that. See, the sheep who belongs to Jesus has a peace that passes understanding now, even in what we call death, even the laying aside of this tent. But let me make sure and add this. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I know people like to point out very quickly, and that's fine to do so. They say, notice, it's just the shadow of death. We don't have to die. He took it for us. Thank God for that. Thank God for that truth. But may I add this? Death may be just a shadow, but unless the rapture happens, we will walk that valley. Unless he raptures us out of here before then, we will walk that valley. And it is not a fun thing to lay aside these tents. Thank God for what's out ahead. Thank God for the assurance beyond that. But don't make light of laying aside. And the Lord doesn't. So he's with us. He strengthens. He encourages. He holds us. But don't act like it doesn't hurt. Thank you, Lord, for being our great shepherd, even in those valleys. Even in that valley of the shadow of death, he's there. He can handle it. So no wonder the sheep find rest in this one who is the great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, David declared. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The overflowing cup for the follower of Jesus. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. So we have eternal life, which isn't just longevity, it's a quality of life. For the believer is an abundance. I'm not saying abundance of material things. I'm saying the abundance of what we really need. Abundance of peace. There's an abundance of love. There's an abundance of joy. The Lord is my shepherd. Our great shepherd. And then verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Anyone here need mercy? One, two, three. About three of you. Four need mercy. Five. Now watch this. Anybody need mercy? Yeah, I had to figure out, he's trying to trick me. What's he saying? No, not trying to catch you. Just trying to encourage us. Thank God his mercies are new every morning. And even with all that Corinda went through last night, is going through today, and all these procedures, and they're saying that even these procedures she's going through could result in her going home. And she's going through all this stuff. And of course, we're all praying, and there's concern and all around it. But boy, if it was for our shepherd, it would just take us apart right at the seams. Where do you go? Like someone in the group last night, the hospital was saying, how do people without faith do this? And that's just true. They have to kind of talk and I'll listen and pretend and whatever. But in the midst of all this, we rest in our great shepherd because we know he settled those things that would tear us apart if it wasn't for him. The joys, the benefits of belonging to this shepherd. That's what David's talking about. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Mercy's new every morning. Goodness, God's goodness. God is good. All the time. And then after this pilgrimage is over, after the journey here is over, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, after finding out and living out the truth of verse 1 through the middle of verse 6, then we move into an eternity of living in the truth of the closing declaration. And I will be home. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're pilgrims passing through. Again, you know all this. It's a reminder, but just keep a light touch. You ever wonder why the things around us don't really ever satisfy? The car you got was so great that a month later you're back looking at another one? Or whatever it is, because you're never going to find it in accumulating a thing or some experience here and all. There's only one place that our heart longs to be. See, it's built in every person to long for home. I'm homesick. Are you homesick? I'm homesick. But one of these days, this old pilgrim will be home. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? I was exchanging texts the other day with a relative, and, well, I'm just kind of rambling, I guess. But this person that I was exchanging texts with was reminiscing over the good old days, some of the good old music. I won't mention what era it was, but I don't remember it being all that great of music, but they were reminiscing over the great old music. And he just finds, he's younger than me, but he finds it interesting to listen to those old good music. And I said, well, I told him this. I said, well, those were interesting times. But I said, I still just marvel that God saved a wretch like me out of it all. Why? Why I get to be there? I don't know. Well, I do know, because he loves. His goodness, his mercy have followed me. I look at my life, they've followed me the whole way. And I will be home. Psalm 23 is a sheep boasting about his shepherd. Psalm 23 is a sheep boasting about the goodness of this shepherd. Did I already mention about the writer that I... One of the writers I enjoy, and how he was kind of thinking about this psalm. Did I mention that yet to you? I'm getting heads nodding no. I don't remember. I'm somewhere, but God's faithful. But let me just mention this. There's an author I enjoy, and he was saying that there was a period of time when he used to drive a bus for like a church or something, and they'd gone out somewhere on a field trip, and he was driving back. And see, he would get a lot of his stuff for writing, these depth of insights and all, by just thinking about God, thinking about the Word. And so I'm reading what he was writing, and he just threw in this little statement, and he said, yeah, he was driving back one day, and he missed the turnoff to go to where they were taking the kids back. He'd missed the turnoff by about 2 hours. But he finally, oh man, I missed the turnoff. Well, what was he doing? He said, well, I was thinking about the beginning of Psalm 23, and I go, oh, that's cool. He said, I was thinking about the phrase, the Lord. The Lord. You mean the Lord, my shepherd? No, this is the Lord. He even started thinking about the, Lord, the living God, the only one. He started going on and right off something going, whoa. He knew how to wait on God. If we're hungry, the Lord feeds. If we'll soak in Him, He opens His Word. He reveals Himself. And He would just pour it out Himself about that. Think about each word. God says what He means and means what He says. The Lord, the only one, the true and living Lord. He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. No wonder David's boasting. No wonder David's rejoicing. No wonder he's calling us to make sure we know it and soak in it today and every day. David was a sheep contented in his shepherd. Are you contented? Paul learned to be content, he said. Are you contented with our shepherd? We will be if we let him be what he wants to be. If we get running around and racing around and trying to find it somewhere else. If we'll just look to our shepherd, he'll be what only he can be. See, this whole thing is meant to be a picture of him and each one who belongs to him. But that's a qualifying point, isn't it? Not all are automatically his sheep. Indeed, we're all not his sheep by birth. There must be a new birth that occurs. If we're going to be a sheep in his family, in his flock, there needs to be a birth that occurs. How do I get this birth? Not by being good enough. Not having your good outweigh the bad. You know where I'm going with this. But it's a good reminder. I need to be in his flock. I want to be in his flock, but I have no power to jump that fence, to span that gap. There's a big cliff. There's a big chasm, and I can't jump over to his pasture. What am I going to do? He came here. He came to me and did for me what I couldn't do and brought me to him and saved me, and a rebirth occurred, moved me into his pasture. The Lord is my shepherd now. Only those who belong to the good shepherd, Jesus, can truly say from the heart, Psalm 23. We can read it as we did a moment ago. We can post it on pot holders, hanging on the refrigerator. Whatever, a little sign, a little knitted sign there in your family room. But got to be able to say it from our heart. That's the comfort. That's the reassurance. That's our refuge. But those who can truly say it from their heart, they're the ones. They're the ones who can say, the Lord is my shepherd. So we invite you today, make him your shepherd. If you haven't done it, there'll be prayer partners in the corner. They'd love to pray with you about it and get it squared away. And if he is your shepherd this morning, rest in your shepherd. Let's rejoice with David in all of this. See, the good shepherd leads. The good shepherd restores. The good shepherd makes, provides. He prepares. All this for a sheep. Did you notice? Go through it. It says, he makes me lie down. He makes me. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my. He leads me. It's very personal, isn't it? It's him and us. He, me. He, me. He wants to have that relationship. He wants us to have that. You got to have it. For eternity and for now, receive him. Receive him. But if we have, enjoy that. Think of it. God is your own personal shepherd. And you're part of a whole flock. And together we can all just say, the Lord is our shepherd. I'm going to invite the worship team up. They'll give us a chance now just to respond and praise the Lord. Father, trusting that you led me to share all this, take it now and speak to every heart. Lord, my mind, my heart just keeps going back to Clorinda and Jeff and the family and friends and asking for you to touch and heal. Please show yourself very strong in these circumstances. Hold everybody very close. Of course, we pray for healing. for thee to restore. Above it all, thy will be done. But you've told us to make our request known. We come boldly before the throne, you said, through that shed blood, and we do that, and we lift our dear sister to you, and we're asking for your touch. We trust you in it all, trust your means and ways, trust your will, of course. But also, Lord, there's many here amongst us going through many things. Take whatever part of all this morning you would choose to administer to their hearts and encourage in their circumstances. And that you're a shepherd who never leaves and never forsakes, and you watch over, and you're just so very faithful to us, so much to each heart. And now, Lord, we choose to respond and to worship you. And we do in Jesus' name. Amen.